Everybody, Jimmy Warren, welcome to a brand new episode of Metal Madness. Tonight, my guest is the Missouri band Etched in Ember. So lock yourself down. It's time for some Metal Madness. So, as I was saying, are you in Missouri?
Yeah, Missouri. Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri.
Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. There you go. I'm out of Chicago.
Right on. Right. It's not too far from here.
No, I've actually played in St. Louis quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I'm at the Grandel Theater in November.
Thank you. My bass player calls me as soon as I start this. So you're at the Grandel Theater, you said?
Yeah. November 12th.
Right on.
Yeah.
So I haven't done my research. So are you part of a band, I guess, then, Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, actually what it is I host another podcast called Guitar Talk.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And I also play. I've been touring since 88. I've played guitar with Chrissy Hines, Delbert McClinton, just a whole shitload of people over the years. Plus, I do my own stuff. And so I was actually at the Red Flag this summer, Castle Loma Ballroom this summer. I usually come through there, you know, three or four times a year.
Right on. Yeah. Red Flag has been kind of that unicorn for us, man. We book shows there, back, you know, this band's fairly new,
yeah.
But we formed in, I call it the actual birthday of this band, January 1 of 2020, because I did a test lineup through the night, 2019, mid 2019. But we had a show booked there, got canceled because of COVID. Actually, our drummer was we thought had COVID, but it ended up being a tick-borne illness.
Ooh.
So we had to cancel that. And then we were scheduled there. We were coming off of a run and had a date there. And Colin Reagan, who works with Red Flag, he was on the road with From Ashes to New doing lighting tech. So we were booking through him, and it was just a mess. So we're like, look, we're not going to do, you know, they 3 days before the show, they're like, yeah, it's happening. I'm like, that's not how we roll. We like to promo stuff. So.
Right. Yeah, you got to have some time, you know, because if not, who are you going to get to come out? It's going to be tough.
Well, especially because we're kind of in the middle of a, you know, we're what I call a dead zone, because Lake of the Ozarks here, we have a ton of venues, but they're all cover tourism type stuff. And the one or two venues that allowed us to throw hard rock metal type shows, one of those closed and the others changed hands. So it's been kind of tough to play locally. So we call St. Louis, Springfield, Columbia, Kansas City our markets, but you know, we being a new band, we're still building the crowd base and the fan base there. So.
Yeah. Well, one thing you've done is you've managed to make it look like you've been around a long time. I mean, the videos are pro. I mean, you got Ibanez doing your videos, right?
Yeah. We jumped from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Allowed us to do that. You know, even with using Landshark, Gary J and Landshark Promotion, who does, you know, all the bands people know, as far as radio promotion, we were able to squeak through that door because nobody was releasing stuff, you know? So it's like when I started sending out in the summer of 2020, a ton of emails to people I had no idea they would respond or not. You know, that people start shooting messages back. So early on, we worked with a different producer, you know, and then when we contacted Gary J and Landshark, he said, hey, why don't you hit up my buddy and Chris Dawson. And so we kind of backtracked and started working with him. All our early stuff was done, you know, first couple songs were Reach Audio, Kevin Gates. And then we transferred over to working remotely with Aphotic Studios. So like From Ashes, Cell to Silence, a couple unreleased tracks we've been sitting on. Those were all done remotely without ever stepping foot in his studio. So,
yeah.
But he connected us with Juan Ibanez, JT Ibanez, and we've been fortunate. I really needed to hit the ground running hard on this because I had let a lot of years go by, written, you know, been a songwriter for my whole life damn near. And I decided I needed to better make some stuff happen because I had some medical scares in 2018 that I'd been in all kinds of different projects. And I'm like, well, you know, we're kind of on, we got a due date here, man. We're not going to be here forever. So.
Right. Yeah, you will expire at some point.
So I don't know if mine's on me anywhere, but I just figured, you know, in 2018, I didn't know I'd ever set foot on stage again. I had some episodes, had an episode on stage, and it really stuck with me. So it was a little bit of a mental battle to get back to where I felt that I could do this. So.
Yeah. Well, you seem to have come back pretty solid. You know, the music's really good. The videos are really good. Your website's nice. I've seen that you even charted in the billboards in the top 50 a couple of times. And so,
three songs on the Billboard MRI. That was all by design. We've got some bucket list things I'm trying to achieve. Octane's been one of those nuts we're trying to crack. We've been submitted there a lot, had good feedback, but it's just every time I, you know, really go to bat there, it's like I never in my wildest dreams I ever thought I'd have a song on charts competing with AC/DC.
Yeah,
or Ozzy Osbourne.
Right.
But you know, the tail end, October 2020 is when we sent our first song to radio, and you know the floodgates pretty much opened there because of all the bands sitting on things through 2020, yeah, not being able to tour. So you know, October, November, it's just like the floodgates open. Everybody's like, we got to get music out there. So
we're fortunate.
So
have you always worked in the hard rock metal world? Is that always been your background?
For the most part, but I mean, I've written, you know, I released songs under just Rodenizer, my last name, and I've not put out much on Spotify and things like that, but I released an acoustic album in 2015, of all just acoustic stuff. I was in a previous project and, our guitar player passed away. He had been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. He was only mid 20s. And, when I lost him, that was the project I felt was going to be the one to, you know, for me to take songs to radio and such. But it, you know, after that happened, I started doing a lot of acoustic shows, and there I wrote, you know, I've always written songs anywhere from pop to hard rock metal. And it allowed me to kind of put a, you know, acoustic player on a lot of songs I felt were more hard rock stuff. But I just went out and performed them with a good buddy of mine. And we did good shows with, you know, Nate from Shaman's Harvest, Bobby from Saliva, just different bands, you know, different guys I could get coming into the area. But, you know, that was a much different flavor, obviously. But I also have written some country songs that I was going to sell. But hard rock metal is where I vent and get all that stuff I carry around my shoulders all day long. You know, I get to scream it out. So I'm going to get a notification off here on my screen. It's going to look like I'm getting a bug, but somebody's texting me.
So the songs that you've got out, I'm guessing that you wrote all the songs yourself.
You know, I hate ever taking credit for all the songwriting because we rely heavily on a producer, but we do demo our own stuff and go in with pretty much finished songs.
Right.
I've been the main songwriter in Etched in Embers, but we're getting ready to drop on November 11th. You know, my lead guitar player is incredible. Multi-talented musician, drummer, guitar player, keyboardist, you know, whatever, pianist. He's incredible. He's made submissions to the band and we've, you know, we didn't by design track the songs that we've released. It was more of kind of bouncing ideas off of the industry and seeing where we wanted to go first. We're a little heavier band. I think when people see us live, they're like, wow, we didn't really know that you guys had that side to you. But, what we drop November 11th will be some of the heavier side of us. And that was written, obviously I write all the lyrics and the melodies as far as that goes, but, you know, Tyler wrote the next single to drop, but up until Fear, I've been the bulk of the songwriting there. And we always credit our producer. I give even splits to everybody. It's all a team effort. So I, you know, I'm not one of those guys where it's like, hey, I wrote this. No, it's everybody wrote this, and everybody lends their own flavor to it. So lineup's fairly new. you know, we're that this lineup has only been together since June of 21. And a lot of people aren't aware that I've got my son in playing bass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it originally we had, you know, when the band first formed in April, May of 2019, it was a test project for me to see if I was past the medical issues, if I was okay to get back at it. And Tyler, the lead guitar player, was actually the drummer. We had been in a previous project. I just said, hey, you want to, you know, I know you're capable of doing this. You want to come over here and get with the guys and see where we go, with the idea that eventually he would be back on lead guitar. So we got a couple guys to go into the studio with us in January 2020 as just studio musicians. And then after we dropped the first single, they're like, man, we want in on it. So that lasted for a good year and a half. But they also have other projects that as things started opening back up, they were going to be more busy. So we started doing auditions for drummers and our drummer and a bass player, and found Christian Bowles out of Des Moines, Iowa. He auditioned along with others, and we chose him. And then we had submissions for bass from all parts of the country, but it was a relocation question. We were not limiting ourselves to local. We knew we were going to be national with that. So I never looked to my son, but he's got his own project and he plays guitar, and we had a video to shoot. So I'm like, well, we need a bass player for this video.
Yeah, you're in.
You're in, man. So we bought a couple basses and a rig, and man, went right to it. So it's been cool. It's been really cool. A lot of people thought we were brothers, and I kind of kept that. Yeah, we're brothers. So yeah. It didn't date me or anything, but it's been a really surreal experience with that. Especially watching back videos and live footage. You know, when you're doing it, it's one thing, but when you see it back, you're like, man, that's my kid there.
Right. That's pretty cool that you get to play in the band with your boy, and you know, that's really cool. My son plays guitar, and I always wanted, and he's really good, and I always wanted him, you know, to play in a band or to go on, and you know, he went on to be a school teacher. He didn't have no desire to, you know, be in a band or anything, which you can't blame him, right? So it's a long road of no money and
a lot of smackdowns along the way.
A lot of no's, man. If you like to hear no, become a musician, right?
Oh, you know, my kids have always grown up around it. You know, they've always had instruments and you know, we've had some musicians in the family. If they would just go that path, you know, they're kind of naturally born with it. Not that I was naturally born with it. I was, you know, I picked up the guitar, and that's originally what I was. I wasn't a front man for a band. You know, we had singers from all over, and I basically became a front man of the band because we had trouble finding guys that we could rely on. So my first real project was a 3-piece group that was heavily influenced by Rush, King's X, stuff kind of like that. It was odd because I was the singer and I was a guitar player, and my bass player looked exactly like Geddy Lee.
Oh,
but he didn't sing. we did a lot of shows in that under the band named Mind Riot, which was a reference to a Soundgarden and their song Mind Riot off of Bad Motorfinger. So you know, it's heavily influenced in that grunge era, but it wasn't by design. I brought Chance in, you know, as far as on bass, it was just, it kind of happened. I have a couple younger kids. Speaking of your son being a teacher, my daughter was a teacher. She's now a high school principal. Wow. So, you know,
good for
she's
her.
Doing much better than music would have taught her, for sure. than music would have treated her, I guess.
Yeah. But, so what's it like touring in a metal band? I mean, what's it like from your perspective? I mean, do you enjoy it? Do you love it? Is it too much work?
I love it. It's a lot of work. A lot of people don't think it is. It's exhausting. I'm the driver. I am the, you know, being the oldest guy in the band, I'm the driver. I'm the one that goes to bed last, the one that gets up first. I'm the tire changer, all those things. Not that the guys couldn't do it, but I mean, I'm just that frame of mind, that generation where I just get done what needs to be done. But times have really changed. You know, back when I was doing this as a youngster, you know, and especially in the 3-piece band, we were just like throwing big 412s and, you know, stacks on stage and rolling with it. And it's just 90 to nothing. But now we're all in-ear monitors and we've got our own rig. We go around, we send tails out. It's very refined. in what we do today. And it's super, super, you know, the reward is that we feel good after every show because our ears aren't blown out, you know, and we just, you know, we see the aspect from the listener, I guess, in our ears, it sounds like a concert, you know, where years and years ago, you couldn't hear shit on stage.
It's right. Like, right.
Like space, but it's very rewarding, to do what we do. And it's rewarding because the fans that come to see us and, you know, we don't have a huge fan base. It's growing. We pick up those people here and there, and that's all we can do. Radio helps us, you know, Facebook marketing, things like that, Instagram marketing, that helps us too. But the meat and potatoes of it all is right there on stage in front of whether it be five people or 500 people. So I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm thankful to be able to do it. And all the hard work over the years has paid off in the sense that, you know, I did the cover band thing up in St. Louis a lot, KC area, you know, four state, five state region doing cover band stuff to make good money, you know, and this isn't as rewarding as that. But when you sell $1,000, $2,000 in merch, that's pretty rewarding. People are wanting to wear your name around. So it definitely, it makes you feel good.
What do you think about, what would you say about the audience? I mean, the metal fans, you know, from city to city. I mean, what's your perspective on them?
I think that sometimes they get a bad rap because, you know, people equate metal music and hardcore music, metalcore music to this maniacal fan base. And it's really, they're just super kind. You know, we get treated so well everywhere we go. You know, the fans are obviously nice to us, to our face. I mean, there's always, you know, other bands to deal with. I mean, that's the biggest thing with any type of touring road work is you've got, you know, other bands to deal with too, and what they're going through and their egos and mentalities. And we hope to never be that guy. We want to always be the easiest band to get along with and work with, mainly talking from a stage perspective, front of house engineers, site, you know, monitor engineers, things like that. And we want to be real easy to work with and treat everybody absolutely 100% respectful because it's a lot of work to do. But as far as the fans, they make it all worth it. You know, we've got a pretty good fan base along the East Coast. So unfortunately, we've not toured out there yet. That's the place we're hoping to get. We've turned down some tour runs mainly because it was just a timing issue with us. We kind of broke down and we're rebuilding our stage setup and production and such, which we're still working on. We've got a couple more shows and we're going to go into a little bit of a hibernation mode. We hit the studio in November and be working on that. So, but you know, the fans have been the best part of it all. And that's all we could ever ask for is that people would be like, hey, you know, we dig your tunes. I think that that's probably the most rewarding aspect of it all is when somebody says they can relate to a lyric in a song or the, you know, when I write, I always try to create an aura of what I feel whenever I'm writing that music and don't really try to tie lyrics into it until I get that feeling. And then that's when I try to write from that. And a lot of people say I write off from, you know, it's either relationship stuff or it's pissed off about politics stuff.
A lot to be pissed off about.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's like, I'm singing for all of us, not just one side or the other. It's like, man, right. You know, we're the commoners. It's and people will really see that with this next song that's called Your Crimes. And it's pretty in your face about what I feel about the way we as the peasants are treated. So,
yeah. So is your motto, or what you do, is it like a lot of bands in the genre that you're in where it's okay, we record a single, we do a video, then we tour. Is that the path that you're following? Or when you go into the studio this time, are you recording an album, an EP, or is it like, well, I said?
Our trajectory or our itinerary has been changed multiple times. First off, directly because of COVID. Mm-hmm. We went in early in 2020, tracked as many songs as we could early on with the idea that we were going to release full length at the end of 2020. well, then things started shutting down. People started not, you know, they started being hesitant to work in-house with people there. So we were, you know, we had one guy that was very receptive to being able to work in an environment like that, because he knew we were all taking care of ourselves and being, you know, alert as what was going on with our health. But when we pushed that back because of, we saw the rush of releases at the end of 2020 and early 2021, we knew as an independent band that nobody'd ever heard of, we couldn't compete with that. So we was like, well, maybe we'll just start kicking singles out right and left. And then we bounce ideas off the people around us that we feel that we can trust in the industry. And, you know, that's a heavy word. Can you trust anybody in this industry? I mean, it's such a cutthroat deal. But yeah. So we went into a single cycle, and, you know, everybody's like, well, there's no need to release an album unless you're signed. We're not chasing down being signed. I would prefer to be independent as long as we could, or forever if we could, as long as we could do some damage on the other side of that. But we are in talks to go ahead and pull the trigger on an EP, which will be a few of the songs that have been released, some that we're sitting on, and what's getting ready to be tracked at the end of this year. And I think that I don't want to say albums are dead, but you know, I'm pulling from a base of well over 100 songs I've written, and I'm only trying to pick the ones that I feel are singles. So I don't want to make an album of singles necessarily, but I know that if I make an album, that 75% of that's going to just go by the wayside and not really get listened to. So we try to, you know, cut the cream of the crop and release that. And see where we're going to be at. We don't want to be all filler on an album by any means. But I know that we will get there eventually. But I think what we're looking at right now is a 6 or 7 song EP, if not out by the end of the year. And that'll be announced real soon. Then within that first 3 months of 2023, yeah. We're headed out to Las Vegas for Apocalypse in the Desert. We will have a tour run associated with that. So that sounds like a good time in my head to drop an EP that we can be out there and supporting. We've had some national run offers that we've turned down. And then we also had a contest we were in with Saul. We won their Looking to Fight Battle of the Bands contest back in October of 21. And that was a guaranteed national supporting opening slot for their headline tour mm-hmm. to support their album. Well, you know, management, a lot of things came into play there on their end. And we ended up playing the first show of 2022 with them in September. They hadn't played a show all year. So they're looking at booking the headline tour. So we don't know if we'll get the call on that deal, but we're hoping that may wrap up our 2022. But we're going to be on the backside of that. Unless we get that call, we're going to be pretty behind the scenes recording and shooting videos. The song we released, we've had songs recorded and video shot since February. Yeah. And we've just not released them yet. So it's we were initially hoping for a different strategy on radio, and then setting up that Octane Punch, which we're kind of having to rethink that strategy just because some things have changed in the industry and Spotify and such. We've been fortunate to land on some editorial playlists on Spotify, which helped our numbers. I mean, we got over, between all of our streaming services, we're over 1 million streams on those songs. But we lost some pretty important people that we were in contact with in some of those corners of the industry that have hurt us a little bit. So rebuilding those relationships and hoping to get back out there supporting that album. So.
Yeah. And that seems to be a common thing in the industry. You know, somebody's there one day and then not the next. You know, there's a lot of changing of the guards or changing hands and that. And I worked in television too for a while. And it's like, you know, I was in content creation for unscripted TV, and the heads of development, they were always, I mean, every 3 months, every 6 months, it was somebody different, you know. And it's the same way in music, you know.
It is. And we try to roll with the punches and you know, as I said earlier, music industry is cutthroat. I mean, I'm not new to the industry. I'm new to this aspect of the music that we're in. You know, I was content for a long time just to write music and record it myself and be okay with that. But, you know, when you're trying to reach those upper echelons, you really have to put some thought into what you're doing, who you're working with. And I mean, it's just like, you might be working with somebody and then they get mad at somebody else you're working with. And then it's like, how do I go? Where do I go from here? How do I move from here without burning the bridge in one aspect or the other? So I just learned to be just as kind as you possibly can to everybody and try to build those bridges instead of burn them. But, you know, there's some, you got to stand firm on some things too. We walked away from some management stuff that we were talking about, and it just didn't feel like the right fit for us at the time. You know, and probably we could ever go back and chat about those things again with those same people, because man, people get butthurt over stuff. And it's like, man, we're all just trying to achieve the same thing here.
Right. Well, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate the time that you've given me, and I really enjoy the music. I look forward to the new stuff that's going to come out, you know, in the coming days. And if you see my name in your area, feel free to stop on by and sit in, you know, and, you know, have a good time. And hopefully when you get up to Chicago, I can come check you guys out.
We had some things working in the Chicago area, and we ended up pushing them off just because we want to make we don't make smart moves by any means. I mean, we're just making moves, you know, but we try to think about a little bit, and we've been wanting to get a, you know, Chicago up to Green Bay kind of Wisconsin run. And it's just a matter of finding the bands we want to do it with. And, you know, we don't want to just blindly go out and play whatever club we can get into, whatever show we can get on. We do a little bit of that one-off stuff, but no, Chicago's definitely, surprisingly enough, Chicago ranks number one in our streaming metrics. And really? I couldn't tell you why. I could not tell you why. We never played there, but we do have fans from there, and they are always number one in our streaming metrics. You know, at first we thought, well, maybe it's just because a local is listening through different IPs or whatever. But just researching it, it's not the case. It's just there's a strong base there that listens to us. So yeah, definitely would want to get up to that area. And I appreciate you having me, Jimmy. We definitely would come out and support you and check you out, man. And we're a fan of all music. And you know, some of my favorite bands we played with, not even in the same genre we are. You know, it's like we end up on a show where it's a different genre. Modeling out of Arkansas is one of them. They were just such a killer vibe. You know, a couple keyboard players and the drummer, killer show. So it's like we just find that we're at heart, we're fans, you know, that didn't happen.
Music's music, man. You know, it's all good.
My folks took me to Boxcar Willie and, you know, all the country artists and stuff, and down in Branson, Missouri, I've spent a lot of time down there. So I cut my teeth up early on.
Right, I'm like John 5, grew up on Hee Haw.
Roy was something else. I mean, you know, a lot of people just didn't. I didn't even realize it until later in life what I was watching and what I was really, you know, seeing the talent there. But yeah, Hee Haw, man, that was the shit.
Yeah, there were some great players that were on Hee Haw. Well, Russ, man, I appreciate your time, and best of luck with that. Hopefully we'll see you in the near future. All right.
I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate your time as well, man.
Thank you. All right, man. Take care.